Welcome to the Contact Center Expert Show. This show is hosted by Nancy Monroe, CEO of Verbal Transactions, a voice enablement technology company. Join our discussion on how you can make your contact center a well-oiled machine.
All right. Well, welcome, everyone. Yes, our audience is back. And, boy, wow, settle down. They are enthusiastic today. And I can understand their excitement because we have a fantastic guest. Okay, enough. You can stop. Okay. We have a fantastic guest with us today, so they're just jumping up and down in their seats. So I would like to introduce to you today, as a thought leader and innovator and the CEO of Phonolo, Shai Berger is on a clear mission to educate the call center industry on how to improve customer experience. So welcome, Shai.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So today's topic, I think, is going to be a great deal of interest to our listeners out there, and it's a term that I had to actually Google it when we started talking about the topic, but conversational commerce. So maybe you could just define what you know conversational commerce to be.
Sure, that's a great question to start with, and actually a tricky question, because the definition for conversational commerce is itself still being debated and somewhat up in the air. So even though we don't have a, we haven't really nailed down exactly what this is, it's worth bookmarking this phrase and spending some time looking at the conversation around it. Because there's a lot of good thinking being applied just sort of with that tagline, conversational commerce, as kind of an organizing principle to just sort of put it in one place. So,
right.
For example, if you go to Twitter, there's a hashtag, CONVCOMM, ConvCom, and you'll see a lot of the good conversation going on there. And there's some blog posts. If you just Google conversational commerce, there's even a conversational commerce conference that has been running for a few years now.
Oh, wow.
So it is a kind of a concept around which a lot of great dialogue is happening. And I guess the central question we're all trying to address is how consumers will communicate with businesses in the future. That's the question we're trying to get to. And it starts with asking, what channels are going to be used. That's kind of that's a question number one, is our, phone calls versus chat versus email versus messaging. But then beyond that, it's also, what style is that communication going to take? Are we going to stay very transactional? Are we going to try to get smarter about how companies and customers communicate and try to build relationships over time and, make it more of a conversation, hence the term there. And it also kind of overlaps with what's going on with the smart speakers, with Alexa and the smart assistants and Siri, and how you can have conversations now with your technology. So that's also included in this big area of conversation.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting because my whole company name, Verbal Transactions, it falls right in place with that term, because nobody was putting a tangible value on not only human-to-human conversations, but like you're saying, the bot-type conversations that we're having. What is the tangible value of that exchange? And so I think, this topic of conversational commerce is, you just mentioned, what's the style? So I spoke at a conference that Amazon put on their very first voice summit, and I thought it was going to be, real voices, because that's what I talked about. But it was all around bots, and are you going to build a personality with your bot? So they're just now starting to kind of, they're having people that design conversations.
That's right. And part of this idea of having an automated system with a personality is about maintaining or extending the conversation beyond just the immediate transaction, where someone wants to check on their order or track a package or ask a question, but something that persists over time so that it helps the consumer build some kind of affinity with the company, some kind of connection there.
Okay.
That, and the hope is that that will, you know, improve loyalty.
And have you seen any, I don't know, whether it's with your own product, have you seen examples of this, this where it works?
I think we're seeing a lot of good examples in different areas. You know, and it depends a lot on which part of conversational commerce you're looking at. You know, there's a very short-term, very immediate aspect to this, which is, for example, moving a lot of the interaction onto chat channels or messaging channels, and bringing chatbots into play to try to automate some of that. And
mm-hmm.
we have very good examples of improvements in efficiency that accompany that. Then there's
right.
So that's sort of the short-term, you know, concept of conversational. Then there's the longer-term, more theoretical aspect of this, which is, you know, keeping the conversation going over multiple transactions extending into years and years so that you build that brand loyalty. And there,
mm-hmm.
the jury is still out. You know, I think we're all
mm-hmm.
still – it's not clear whether we can get chatbot technology, as good as it is, to get good enough to really make people feel like they're connecting with a company and
right.
have some kind
right.
of emotional investment there. I think that's – there's a big question mark around that. And it's one of the most interesting questions in this industry right now. Is that wishful thinking
totally.
or is it really possible?
Yeah, it was they were asking – I forget the name of the company, but they focus 100% on building bots. And they said, what's the most common question people ask bots, you know, or try to trick it up, you know, are you real? What are you wearing? You know, things like that.
Right.
It's like just to see, is this a real person? Because, you know, if it's not an audible bot that's talking to you, or like
mm-hmm.
like an Alexa or Siri, it's just back and forth texting, messaging. At first, they do sound very real. And then, is obviously, the more complex your questions get, then you can start to see, you know, the wheels are coming off the truck a little bit. But that was, you know, she's like, you know, we debate whether or not we make it male or female. You know, hi, my name is
mm-hmm.
whatever. You know, and do people relate better to male or female depending upon, you know, what the product and service is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
yeah,
I see a lot of that.
There's another aspect of this. So the automation piece, bringing bots into the picture, is one part of it. But even on the other side of the fence, where we've got human-to-human interaction,
mm-hmm.
part of this conversational commerce trend is about moving from chat-type systems, where you go to a website and there's a pop-up window and you have a you know, a text back and forth
mm-hmm.
with the company, and switching from that mode to using messaging platforms like Facebook or Apple Business Chat or WhatsApp or WeChat. And the difference there is that though when you have your conversation through those platforms, it's persistent. So it stays there in the window when you go back, just like when you have a personal conversation with someone, you go back and you can see that whole thread, right? So
yes.
We're trying to bring that kind of feeling where there's a, you know, there's a history, a track record, and it
mm-hmm.
persists from
mm-hmm.
beyond just the immediate transaction. And that might seem like a minor difference. You know, does the chat disappear when you close
yeah.
the window? It
yeah.
seems like a minor difference, but emotionally, the fact that that history stays with you really changes the way you think about that interaction with the company. Or at least that's the theory. And so we're
right.
part of what this whole trend is about is exploring how making that subtle change impacts the communication trends.
Right. Well, and I've had conversations before about, you know, do you cross train agents then too? Do you have one person doing chat, email, phone, or do you have everybody kind of specialize so that the tone of whoever's managing those conversations is mm-hmm. appropriate for the channel that it's in.
That's right. And getting even more specific, the chat versus messaging requires a different style from the agent, because see, with a chat window, it's happening kind of in real time, and if there's too long of a pause, then the session times out. So when you're in a chat session, you're aiming to resolve the issue now. You're going to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, reach a conclusion, close the window, right?
Right.
With messaging, it's assumed that you can pause, that you can take long breaks between messages, just like you and I do with friends or family, where you'll send a message and maybe nothing will come back for a few hours, and then they'll send back a message, but you're busy, so you send back a message, and it's this sort of long duration asynchronous mode of conversing. So that's a challenge for agents. It's different. It's a different modality.
Right.
Requires
right.
a different mindset from chat. And that's proving to be a challenge for call center people as well, because when they thought about, well, we can use Facebook Messenger instead of our chat widget on our website, it seems like a simple switch. But it's actually a it's more than just changing the venue of where the chat happens. It's changing the nature of that conversation.
Yes, yes. Well, and so the person I was speaking to, he says, you know, you have, if you're allowing somebody to do both, like say they're on the phone, they're using messaging, the ball gets dropped because let's say you were going to get back to somebody with something and you didn't, then more channels could also mean more mess-ups, more mistakes too.
That's right. Or keeping consistent what agents are saying, what's the policy of one channel versus the other, because you want to, you know, you want to deliver, you want to have a consistent policy on you know, everything the company does, regardless of what channel is used to talk to the customer.
Yeah, and do you see... do you see challenges with managing the infrastructure that these systems, you know, need to have in place? Because, you know, a lot of call centers, as we know, have a lot of legacy systems or things are hodgepodge together. This is just one more. I mean, how many monitors is an agent going to need these days?
You know? Yeah, absolutely.
It's like four or five, right?
It's funny you bring that up, because our main business here at Phonolo is helping companies that are often with legacy call center equipment modernize and add newer functionality. We're best known for our callback solutions that allow companies to replace hold time with a callback. So that's one way that we're helping companies get more modernized and cope with rising bar that consumers have. You know, they're expecting much better experience than in the past. So we're helping companies meet that bar. And part of the idea of callbacks is also to help moving between channels. So if you are on the website or you're in a chat and you need to escalate to voice, you can do that by requesting a callback, right? So that's part of the value we bring to the table as well. And that issue of managing the channels and switching between the channels is, you know, yet another aspect to this, to the way the industry is changing. You know, it's one thing to say, okay, we've got this channel and that channel, now we're going to add two, three, four more channels. It's not enough to just be good at each channel. You also have to be ready to switch between them and manage a situation where people have used multiple channels just as part of a single transaction.
And then how do you measure, you know, customer satisfaction scores or response time or on hold time versus, talk, you know, chat time? I mean, all of those, you know, pieces of data and metrics that, you know, used to be, you know, call centers live and die by. There's a whole new mix of that, too, now.
Absolutely. And expectations from consumers are different, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if you're going to have a chat on that's powered on your website, so an on-website chat, the expectation there is have a quick response time because those chats will time out. You know, the expectation on me as a consumer is that I'm going to stay on your website and keep my attention on this chat window until we resolve the issue, because otherwise the chat's going to time out. And my expectation on the call center is that the agent will respond relatively quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you move to a messaging paradigm, if you're moving to conversing over Facebook Messenger or Apple Business Chat or WeChat or WhatsApp or any of these platforms, it's a totally different expectation, because you know, the agent's going to send you a reply, and it's totally understandable that you might be driving or in a meeting or something, and you may
mm-hmm.
not reply for hours
right.
or until the next day. But conversely, I also have to have modified expectations of the agent that they may take a few hours to get back to me. So it would be foolish to apply the same metrics and the same expectations to both of these things. So that's why chat versus messaging is so interesting, because they seem so similar. It seems like
mm-hmm.
they're two flavors of the same thing, but they're different in very meaningful ways.
Yeah, I mean, it's like dial-up versus what we have today. It's like you kind of slow, you know, it's going to connect eventually, but versus... You know, we get angry if we can't get online, like, immediately these days.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's
funny how our expectations have changed. Like, somebody was just saying, a DJ was saying on the radio, like, yeah, I was surfing my Netflix, and it wasn't scrolling fast enough for me. And he's like, how lazy am I that I'm so frustrated that my thumb...
That's right.
Because they're talking about how now your eyeballs are going to start controlling... the screen, you know, they're using
right.
new technology, and I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, it is a little, yeah, but it we have to be prepared for that, because that's the mentality of the consumers out there.
Right. It's what they call the first world problems.
exactly.
That's a good hashtag to follow on Twitter, first world problems.
Oh,
it'd be quite funny.
Down.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in your world, you know, I mean, maybe you could just share with our listeners out there, you know, where you see this going. You know, I mean, is it messaging versus chat expectations? Is it deciding what transactions in your industry, in your company, can be automated easier and turn that over to more of a true bot, self-paced, self-contained, and then ramp people up through different triggers? Or, you know, where do you see this a combination of the automation versus human-to-human interactions?
Well, that's a terrific question. There's a lot of ways I could go on that front. Let me address
mm-hmm.
the automation piece, because I think there's a lot of it's easy to get your head spinning when you read about automation, in particular chatbots. And then AI gets mixed into here often in very confusing and unclear ways. And sometimes you even get wacky headlines like, we won't need call centers because the robots are coming.
Right, right. sure.
So just to put a reality check on all of that, you know, we are getting a lot better at automation or self-serve processes.
Right, yep.
But at the same time... we see agent employment going up, not down. So agents are needed as much or more than ever. The volume of phone calls continues to go up.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no sign in the data, at least, that there's any replacement of voice. I think that a lot of times we hear about success stories with chatbots, and someone will say, oh, look, this airline lets you book your tickets with a chatbot over Alexa or some other new format.
Yes.
And, you know, it's good to get excited. I mean, that's an interesting headline. But what we often forget is that those are transactions that were previously self-serve,
yeah,
just in another
IVR
format.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So
yep.
Often what's happening when you see a story like this is that transactions that already were in the self-service domain
mm-hmm.
have moved from either IVR or a web form or a mobile
yep.
app to some other format, or doing it over chat, or doing it with
mm-hmm.
a smart speaker or whatever it is.
Right. Yep, absolutely right.
And so you have to keep in mind that often the question is not how many, you know, what new capabilities does the chatbot have or how many transactions did it handle. The question is it really taking tasks off the plate of the call center agent?
Mm-mm. Yeah.
And what I'm seeing is most of the time, no. Most of the
okay.
time, we're in a state where the things that are self-serve are staying self-serve.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
And certainly there's always room to improve self-serve, and there's, you know, it's smart to bring it to new channels, and the new generation
mm-hmm.
of people are going to
mm-hmm.
want to interact with companies on different channels. And there's always room for improvement in terms of completion rates and containment rates.
Right.
But in many industries, it seems like there's kind of a steady state that we've reached where the stuff on the self-serve side of the fence is staying there. And the
yes.
stuff that needs humans is going to continue needing humans because the transaction is too messy or complicated or
right, right.
high value or rare. You know, there's this whole long tail of odd cases that come up, right?
Yep.
That are, you know, they're just too rare to spend the effort to automate them.
To automate
know,
it, yeah. You're right.
Right. And
yeah, well, and I see that. That came up the other day where you need those agents to handle the complex calls that come in. I mean, and they say that your first, what's the word they were using? Your single point of failure,
mm-hmm.
still that rep.
Yes. So I really see the world in you know, if I look at the whole universe of people working
mm-hmm.
in the customer service realm, I see people trying to make self-service better, more efficient, or extended into
okay.
new channels. Which
yep.
I totally applaud. That's important work.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And I see people trying to make the human side work better. So that whether that's training the agents better, which I know
mm-hmm.
that's part of your work,
mm-hmm.
Or giving them better equipment or better desktop applications so that it's, you know, easier to do what they need to do. I see that as part of our work at Phonolo.
Right, right.
Removing the hold time and navigating IVRs so that people and agents can get connected very smoothly without the frustration that's
right.
often the, you know, contaminating that relationship, right? You
mm-hmm.
Have to run through this gauntlet before you get to the human. We want to remove
exactly.
that so that
yeah.
those conversations are unhindered by any of those inconveniences.
And I think
that is work that's going to continue.
And I would think by removing that frustration, I mean, certainly, I'm sure a good selling point for you guys is you're not going to get a frustrated customer. We're going to try to remove the level of frustration the customers have to encounter just to talk to somebody at that company.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah,
that's
beautiful.
Awesome. That's
beautiful.
Is,
yeah.
That is a big selling point for us. Another selling point is reducing
mm-hmm.
abandon rate, which is
yeah.
the percentage of people that are put on hold and then give up.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
if your call center is handling sales, if those are sales calls that you're losing, then it's
oh,
obviously
yeah.
a bad thing to have an abandon rate. So if you can just remove the hold time pain, we see a drastic reduction in abandon rate and abandonment. So those are all those are all opportunities to talk
right,
to the
right.
customer that you would not have had.
Well, and, you know, my whole spin on this is let's leverage the bot or the AI or the speech rec technology to help humans interact with each other better. You know, instead of removing the human out of the equation, let's use it
right.
to, you know, so I used the old product that I had developed a couple years ago. I had actually embedded emotion analytics, so it would measure the emotion in your voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a company out of Israel, and you know, initially I thought that was, you know, as a training tool, it was going to basically teach you, oh, you sounded angry here, oh, you sounded da-da-da here. But what it turned out to really become is self-awareness for how will the listener be perceiving you as far as confidence level, intelligence, trustworthiness, right? Because people buy on emotion. And so, you know, using that technology to teach people how to interact with humans better. And it's out there today, and you know, and I don't, you know, so I preach that people should be using this kind of technology so that we can learn how to interact with each other better, because people don't realize how important voice is. In the, you know, the sound of your voice is twice as important as how, you know, the words that you're saying. So,
absolutely.
A lot of companies today are using sentiment analytics. You know, they're just taking the words and saying, oh, that was a good call, that was a bad call. But I think they can go beyond that and use some of these other technologies that are coming out in the market in a very affordable way to just embed it into your existing systems.
Yeah, I agree. No, I think one of the major trends happening right now is that the analytics, being able to convert all your phone calls to text and then run analysis
mm-hmm.
on that, whether
mm-hmm.
you call it, you know, speech analytics or sentiment analysis.
Right.
All of that is becoming much more affordable and widespread. You know,
mm-hmm.
for the last few years, that's been something that was only really available to the largest call centers that were
right.
willing to spend a lot of money. But the core technology there, the speech-to-text technology, has become very inexpensive. And so there's a whole crop of new companies,
mm-hmm.
new startups that are sort of bringing that that approach to the masses, and so that's definitely an interesting trend.
And it's more accurate too. I mean, it was horribly inaccurate just 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and that's one challenge I had, because I had to use a voice transcription component into the other product that I had, and it took me forever to find something that was not super expensive, but could do it in real time and was accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had to go all the way to France to a company that was out in France in a research institute, believe it or not. I just was not satisfied with what I was finding here in the U.S. But now, is that something that you're building into your product?
I can't say too much about our roadmap.
Okay.
But yes, we're exploring that that technology as part of a future product.
Okay, that's fantastic. Well, yeah, it's becoming more. You know, you always hear this call may be recorded for training purposes. You wonder how many thousands of hours of audio is just sitting there, not being analyzed, and the value that it could provide. Because I've given presentations where an insurance company actually did analyze all these calls, and they figured that if you're buying car insurance or you're calling in to get a price quote on car insurance, if you ask what's the make and model of your car, you know, almost like 10, and not even 10 minutes into the conversation, for some reason the sale would convert 80% of the time. They don't know why. You know, it doesn't make sense to me, but you know, that was a pattern that they were finding through all those conversations of, you know, phone calls. That was, you know, so there's ways to, you know, leverage that technology to learn, again, to learn how to have better human conversations and to drive revenue and relationships back into the organization. Yeah, and so for my last question, you know, is there a little case study or example you can give, you know, of a customer that wasn't using your product and then the difference it made after implementing your product?
Well, if you go to phonelo.com, we've got a case studies page with quite a
mm-hmm.
few stories there that people can look at. And there's cases where abandon rate was reduced, or cases where sales was increased. So a lot of material on that front. And if I could, I'd like to just mention that we're going to be doing an online conversation on the same topic, November 27th. So it's a Google Hangout, me and some other industry executives. And
wonderful.
If you just Google Phonolo and conversational commerce, I think you'll find the link to watch
the link.
That.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. Well, I really appreciate you joining us today, and our audience, they love it. You're a big hit.
That's great.
So we will certainly, Shag, you know, reach out to you again, you know, as we continue to put our shows together, and really appreciate you joining us today.
It was my pleasure. All the best.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Goodbye.